From call to conviction, time now for a look back at one of the more intriguing and important cases for this community. From the crime, the investigation, to the prosecution.
During the dark and desolate hours between 11 p.m. on December 30th and 1 a.m. December 31st, 1999, the life of Sherman Henry Dodd met a violent and tragic end. The first indicator that something was wrong occurred at 10:28 a.m. on December 31st. At that time, Sherman Dodd's wife, Mindy, reported to police that her husband was missing. She told the police she had last seen her husband at 11 p.m. the night of December 30th. A short time later that morning, Sherman Dodd's body was discovered. The body was inside of Sherman Dodd's locked truck. The truck was parked at the Smyrna Square Shopping Center in Smyrna, Tennessee. Officers arrive at the scene, and the truck door is opened. It is apparent to the officers that Sherman Henry Dodd has been shot to death. The autopsy revealed that Sherman Dodd had been shot 5 times. One shot was to the right temple, another shot was to the chest, and 3 more shots were fired into Sherman Dodd's back. Sherman Henry Dodd was 46 years old. He lived on Antique Lane in Smyrna. He was a partner with Mustang Drywall and Paint. He was married. His wife's name was Mindy Sue Dodd, age 32. He had 2 children living at home. Also living with the couple was Sherman Dodd's nephew, James Smallwood, age 23. As the Smyrna Police Department investigated, they began to build a case. The case focused on Sherman Dodd's nephew, James Smallwood, and the victim's wife, Mindy Sue Dodd. The police interview both suspects within hours of discovering Sherman Dodd's body. And during the interview of James Smallwood, the case breaks wide open. James Smallwood admits that he shot and killed Sherman Henry Dodd. He tells police that he and Mindy Sue Dodd had planned the murder since October. He says that Mindy Sue Dodd supplied him with gloves, a homemade silencer, and a .38 caliber pistol. Mindy Dodd was also interviewed, and she gave the police a statement, which implicated herself in the murder of her husband. On December 31st, 1999, less than 14 hours after finding the body of Sherman Henry Dodd, the Smyrna police charged Mindy Sue Dodd and James Smallwood with the murder of Sherman Henry Dodd. They have separate trials. When we return, we will examine the trials of State of Tennessee versus James Smallwood and Mindy Sue Dodd.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for 4 generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas' Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
The trial of James Smallwood began on February 7, 2001. James Smallwood was represented by Murfreesboro attorneys Bill Tillery and John Mitchell, Jr. The prosecution team consisted of District Attorney General William C. Weitzel, Jr., and Assistant District Attorneys Tom Jackson and J. Paul Newman. The trial was presided over by Judge James Clayton. On the second day of trial, February the 8th, 2001, James Smallwood decided to stop the trial and changed his plea. He pled guilty to the first-degree murder of Sherman Henry Dodd. He also pled guilty to conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. His sentence on the first-degree murder count was life in prison with the possibility of parole. His sentence on the conspiracy count was 15 to 25 years concurrent with the life sentence. As part of the plea agreement, James Smallwood agreed to testify truthfully in the trial of Mindy Sue Dodd. On September 25, 2001, the trial of Mindy Sue Dodd began. On September 27, after hearing 2 days of testimony, the jury found Mindy Sue Dodd guilty of the first-degree murder of her husband. The jury also found Mindy Dodd guilty of conspiracy with James Smallwood to kill her husband. The jury sentenced Mindy Sue Dodd on the first-degree murder count. The sentence was life in prison with the possibility of parole. On the conspiracy count, Judge Clayton sentenced Mindy Dodd to a sentence of 20 years to be served concurrently with the life sentence. Under these sentences, James Smallwood will not be eligible for parole until he is 74 years old, and Mindy Sue Dodd will not be eligible for parole until she is 83 years old. It is a sentence that should guarantee that James Smallwood and Mindy Dodd will never again be a threat to any member of this community. It is my honor to have with us today in the WGNS studios Captain Todd Spearman of the Smyrna Police Department. Captain Spearman was one of a team of law enforcement officers who investigated this case. It is through the team's effort that the investigation was thorough and professional, the arrests were swift and without incident, and the cause of justice served by the arrest, prosecution, and conviction of James Smallwood and Mindy Sue Dodd. Captain Spearman, first of all, thank you for being here, and welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, General. It's an honor.
Can you tell us, Captain Spearman, some of the names of the many law enforcement officers that formed the team that solved this case so quickly?
Yes, sir. It was the majority of the investigators with the Smyrna Police Department, Detective Lear, Detective Peach, Detective Brashear, Detective Duke, myself, Detective Williams. It was a group effort to let this come to conclusion.
Captain Spearman, this investigation quickly led to the arrest of James Smallwood and Mindy Dodd within hours of the body being discovered. I think it occurred on the same day. Can you tell us how this was accomplished so quickly?
When we investigated this case, it was a team effort. When we uncovered new evidence or new information, we were able to send different investigators to different areas to confirm some of the information and check the veracity of the stories that we were hearing.
Was there ever a turning point in the case where some people would call it the aha moment, where you realize, wait a minute, I think I know who did this?
Very much so. The big moment for us was when we were notifying Miss Dodd of the death of her husband. It was unusual to us that Mr. Smallwood wanted to be the one to tell Miss Dodd. When we did tell Miss Dodd with Smallwood in the room, that was just an inappropriate emotional reaction from both of them. And from that, we were able to kind of glean that there was a little bit more to the story than what they were telling us.
Obviously, there were two people charged with the murder of Mr. Dodd. Can you tell us, between Mindy Sue Dodd and James Smallwood, was there a leader in this crime, or were they equally involved, or how would you assess that?
Mr. Smallwood was the weapon, and Miss Dodd was the person that used that weapon to accomplish what she needed to accomplish.
Can you explain that just a little bit further for us?
Yeah, Miss Dodd was the ringleader, so to speak. She was the planner. She's the one that gave the instruments to complete the act. She gave him the weapon. She gave him the gloves. She was able to hatch a plan, so to speak, to cover their tracks.
And can you tell us about how long this plan evolved? How many months had they thought about doing this before it happened?
It was several months, and it was more, Miss Dodd was more into a grooming period by discussing with this Mr. Smallwood how rough their life was and how they needed to be rid of Mr. Dodd, the victim.
From the interview of James Smallwood and also his testimony at trial, can you tell us what he said the plan was and how it was executed?
The plan was to use the victim's gun, his own personal gun, and to actually commit the crime, commit the murder, and then they were going to cover up the murder while both of them were supposedly at different jobs and try to use that as a cover. Interesting fact is the plan didn't hatch out the way it was supposed to be planned, and there was actually one failed attempt previously that Smallwood basically chickened out.
Now, I understand that at some point that she tried to get James Smallwood to assist her in hiring somebody to do this particular crime. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, sir. Originally, she was discussing trying to get rid of Mr. Dodd with Smallwood, and the original plan was trying to find somebody, and they decided to stop that plan because, number one, they couldn't find anybody, and number two is because, again, Miss Dodd was kind of egging on Smallwood so that he could be the new man of the family, or he can be the new man of the house. Are you man enough to do this and rid us of this incident?
Mindy Dodd and James Smallwood both, as part of their defense, alleged that they were being sexually abused by the victim. And, of course, the victim was not there at trial and is not here today to address those accusations. But even assuming that they were abused, were there other alternatives available to them short of killing Mr. Sherman Henry Dodd?
Yes, sir. There was numerous opportunities. If you will look at their activities, both of them had jobs outside the home. Mr. Smallwood actually had several homes that he could go to. Miss Dodd had already made future plans. She had relationships outside the marriage. She did have a good job, so to speak. So there were several avenues, not only that, but some of the avenues that the police services would offer. We didn't have any idea that there was sexual abuse allegations until well after the crime had been committed.
Now, through your investigation, you've already discussed that Miss Dodd had future plans. I think Mr. James Smallwood also had some future plans. Can you tell us if any of those plans possibly played a role in helping to form a motive to kill Mr. Dodd?
Yes, sir, they did. Mr. Smallwood had the idea that he would be the new man of the house and that he would be able to carry on with his relationship with Miss Dodd after the victim was out of the picture.
Now, Detective Spearman, in this case, Mindy Dodd and James Smallwood will probably not live long enough to make parole. One will be 74, the other 83. In your opinion, does this punishment fit the crime?
Yes, sir, it does. On a side note, the mission statement for the Smyrna Police Department is to have a community where children can thrive. And what's missed out in this picture is the fact that there's actually two small children that not only have they lost their father, they've lost their mother who will be in prison, but the sordid details and the facts of this case are come to light. So you've got more victims than just Mr. Dodd.
One of the tragic items concerning this case is how the body was discovered and who discovered it. Can you tell us how that happened?
Yes, sir. Mr. Dodd had a son from a previous marriage, and there was some concern of they were picking up their checks from work that morning. The son actually went to the office. Mr. Dodd was not at the office. And as he was driving back to the bank in Smyrna, he noticed his father's truck in the parking lot. So when he pulls over to see if that is his father's truck, he noticed that his father is slumped over, laid down the front seat of the vehicle. And that's when he notified police.
Now, I want to turn it over to General William C. Weitzel and ask if he has any questions concerning the excellent work conducted by the Smyrna Police Department.
Good morning, Captain Spearman. As I recall, there was some key evidence that was located in a dumpster in this case. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, sir. We had, during the interview with Mr. Smallwood, again, we had the team approach to the investigation. So when Mr. Smallwood would give us the smallest detail in his interview, we were able to dispatch a detective investigator or a crime scene or an officer to those specific locations. One of the locations Mr. Smallwood did was not sure which dumpster it was, but he knew the dumpster was in an appropriate area in the middle of Smyrna. What we're able to do is we were able to send several detectives and officers to secure all the dumpsters and then basically just go into the dumpsters looking for the evidence, and that's where we were able to find several of the instruments of the crime.
And do you recall where the weapon that was used, where it was located?
The weapon and the ammunition stuff was in the dumpster, and they had also formulated a sort of a poor man's silencer, so to speak. He tried to shoot through a plastic Coke bottle to muffle the sounds on the second shot when he was shot in the front of the car or in front of the truck.
Well, it was obvious from the number of shots and the location that they certainly intended to kill Mr. Dodd. The interesting thing to me about this case was Mr. Smallwood claimed, and it was in fact our theory, that he was under the influence of Mindy Dodd, that she had promised him certain things to get him to go along. And then on the flip side, when her case was coming to trial, she was claiming that she was not only manipulated by her husband, but also by Mr. Smallwood, and that she was the victim of sexual abuse. So it was an interesting dynamic from that point of view.
Very much so. The interesting part about Ms. Dodd is not only did she have a relationship on the outside, but when we did search her vehicle, she had a wedding chapel, and her new boyfriend had given her a ring. The first person that Mr. Smallwood called that morning was Mindy Dodd to come pick her up. The other interesting statement about that Mindy made is when James Smallwood called her and said, "I need to be picked up," the first words that Mindy Dodd said was, "Is it done?" Concerning the death of Mr. Dodd. And when she went and picked up Mr. Smallwood, they actually drove by the area where they had parked the truck with the body inside of it and looked and said, "Yes, I guess it is done." So she knew.
Yeah, and I recall during Mr. Smallwood's trial, when he was the first to go to trial, a very strong case against him. And as General Newman pointed out, on the second day of the trial, he, through his attorneys, wanted to enter into an agreement with the state, and he was facing life without the possibility of parole. We agreed he could plead to first-degree murder and life with parole. But part of that was that he would testify truthfully if called upon in Ms. Dodd's trial. And I think, just in my own mind, that Mr. Smallwood felt like that she was still calling the shots and was using him, and he was going to take the fall. And then when she came to trial, she was going to try to place all the blame on him. And I believe that's what changed his mind, and he decided to plead guilty. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, sir, very much so. Most of Mindy's statement was, "James did this, James did that." Again, that was what we believed, is that Mindy Dodd was the planner and James Smallwood was the weapon that she used to accomplish the task that she needed.
Detective Spearman, one of the real important and significant parts of the trial that I believe contributed to James Smallwood pleading guilty was the playing of his videotape statement. And on that videotape statement, he reenacts what happened during the shooting and the sequence of events of shooting this individual five times. Can you summarize and tell us what he said happened and how he did it?
Yes, sir. When they arrived, Mr. Dodd went to pick up Mr. Smallwood at work, and once they arrived back at their home, that's where Mr. Smallwood basically turned to the side and fired one shot into the temple. Then he took the Fruitopia bottle and tried to muffle the sound with a second shot. He then pushed over the body in the vehicle and then drove the car around Smyrna looking for a place to dispose of the evidence and or the body. During that travel, evidently Mr. Dodd made some additional noises that Mr. Smallwood did not think that he had fully deceased yet, and he fired three more rounds into the back of Mr. Dodd. After that point, Mr. Smallwood kind of began to become nervous because he couldn't find anywhere to do anything, disposed of the ammunition, the weapon, the gloves, the Fruitopia bottle, and then he parked the car close to where he had originally left for work. At that point, he walked over to the restaurant and then claimed that nobody had ever came to pick him up for work.
Captain Spearman, we want to congratulate you and the other members of the Smyrna Police Department for bringing this case to justice.